cliffcentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
Right, folks, good morning. Welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. Yes, in the studio today, Chad, Lawrence, Teppo. How are you, gents?
Just made it.
Just made it in time. I heard a bit of sweat on your brow. I see that.
Looks like you've been running a marathon, mate.
Look, whoever just saw me drive through the November going north, driving like a maniac, please excuse me. I was late. I dropped my phone by, and then the battery dies. No, you're not going to tell me that. I didn't go all the way back for the phone, it's going to die. Anyway.
So, no, you did, because it can be charged.
Good day for me.
Good day for you.
Hey, I dropped the phone and then went.
And you found your phone.
I found it exactly where I left it.
That's the way it should be, though.
Actually.
It? Actually.
That is the way it should be.
If it doesn't belong to you, leave it alone.
In no. Pick it
or
up.
Or hand it in.
And then if you're at the BP garage, just leave it at the cashier. Say, listen, I found a phone over there. I'm sure the owner will come back for it. Because if I didn't find it there, I was going to go to the... I actually wrote an SMS to myself. Like, I texted using my other phone. And I said, hi, this is the original owner of the phone. If you find this phone, please hand it to the BP cashier. And I'll highly appreciate it and leave it with your contact numbers. Teppo Maseko.
Oh, I had to leave the name down there. Just a name drop.
Well, listen, it could have been a lot worse. I don't know if you guys saw in the news this week, your day could have started like this instead.
Fatherland. Shit! Shit! Oh, shit! Oh, shit! Oh, shit.
I think he was giving you a run-by-run commentary of what was actually happening.
Yes, yeah, so just if you haven't seen it, you got to go and see. But that is a hippopotamus attacking an Oaks car. The guy's in a Ford Ranger, and there's this hippo looks like it's been obstructed by the barrier of the road. And he obviously drives past and thinking, and this hippo turns on him and just says, John, are you going nowhere?
Oh, I saw the photos after.
Jeez,
the entire right front of that car was caved in.
It was wrecked. And you could see one of the tooth marks
Ford
in
Ranger.
The bottom. It looked like it had been shot. A Ford Ranger, bud.
No, it must be called Ford, what's it called? What's that animal again? Hippo.
Dude, this is Africa. It's not for sissies. Yeah.
That's the thing. I think
in Africa, wildlife eat you.
Exactly. It does. I mean, there were those guys that were attacked at the lion park.
Yeah. We've had elephants roll over polos.
You've had a giraffe stick its head in your car window. Mm-hmm. Tell us
how high must your car have been?
I was driving a truck at the time.
Oh, okay. I was like, a giraffe stick a head in the... Tail, foot, maybe.
Chad has been attacked by a rhino. So, yes, we've all had our run-ins with the wild.
What's wrong with you guys?
White rhino, I almost had a white rhino flip an 11-ton truck.
That's when you realize the power of
these animals. An 11-ton safari vehicle. I almost had a full adult female white rhino.
Yo.
I made the very stupid idea of driving between her and her offspring.
Oh, he was about, Chad.
He was about...
Generally, I think whenever the wildlife gets involved with you, it's because you've driven between it and something it wants.
Yeah.
Food, rhino.
I think in this case, it was largely just... I mean, I've been chased down by an elephant as well. I have been.
What kind of clothes were you wearing? Was there anything red in the car?
No.
Was the car red?
This was actually last year.
Were you red from the sun?
Just over... I'm always red from the sun. Have you not seen me? I've got a choice of two colors, fire engine red or appliance white.
Yeah. Fire engine red.
I look like a Santa hat. It's not a farmer's tan, it's a Santa hat. It's just red and white.
Look, there's this stupid guy from Mpumalanga. His name is Busiso, and his taxi owner friend. They drove us in a Quantum through Kruger National Park for some odd reason with children in there. Now, we can see this bucky is reversing because there's a herd of elephants there. This guy decides, taxi driver original style, he overtakes a little bit onto gravel road and he goes there. I'm like, Baba. Mchana, my children are in this car. I'm going to come to that front. And he says, no, Ngawar, Maseko, animals are used to me. Yeah, you know, when they flap their ears like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I had him, you know, the oh shit, he said it only once.
Yeah.
Oh shit, Gunabantuan, like this kid in the car. And only then he reversed. But I was not impressed with him, eh?
So he was going to drive past those elephants?
Yes.
No, you can't.
That is crazy. Yeah. I think, you know,
no,
if you are going to the game parks or you're traveling on some of our roads that go through, you know, areas where there are wildlife, just, you know, be cautious.
Animals are unpredictable, okay? And many people are going to be going out to the Kruger or doing something
along those lines. Or something along those lines.
Yeah, something along those lines, visiting a game parks. Your car is darn expensive. It's not disposable, and it's not, sadly, going to protect you against some of the bigger
wildlife. But now, what do? Like, do you reverse? Do you make a U-turn? Do you just chill and hope for the best?
Lean on the hooter. Take a lesson from the taxi drivers.
Hooter?
Yeah.
Is it going to drive them even more mal?
I don't know. I might chase them away. I don't know.
I don't think it. They may perceive that as being a sign of aggression. You're going to stop. You're
going or to the stop. Lions just, are just going to go, oh, dinner bell.
Don't be foolish about this. Don't try, and you're going to have to be patient about these things. You can't be impatient and think, okay, well, I'm just going to... They're 2-3 meters off the side of the road. I'm just going to quickly run past them, drive quickly. No, they turn around. You're in their environment.
Yeah.
Okay. Trust me, they can maneuver a little better than what your car can.
And it's better to run away forward than reverse.
Well, just
if you must run.
If you've come in and there's no way and you're not getting past them, then back up. But you back up slowly. You back up slowly. They see you. They see you. You know, retreating like that, and they're not going to take it as a threat.
Yeah.
You hoot and you but come and you edge forward, they take this as a threat.
Nah, but sometimes it's a victory for them. Like, if you know they give you that...
And that's fine because they don't want to get into a fight.
Yeah,
they're not trying to be territorial or anything.
Bottom line, get a big car, Charlie.
I don't even think a big car is going to help you. A Ford Ranger is not a small car, but when you see a hippo bite...
No, but hippos, I mean, they kill humans bonnet. More than anything else.
Don't you understand about an 11-ton safari vehicle?
You guys must have pissed that animal off, bruh.
No, I did. I really did.
Yeah, you must have called by its mother's name or something.
I said
something like that.
I was so delayed.
Your master soup of its was dying.
Eventually, I couldn't delay anymore. They were not moving. I had the baby on one side of the path. I had the mother on the other side. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna gap it. And that was foolish because she turned around. I've never seen a white rhino move this fast in my life. Turned around and got her horn underneath the running board of the truck. And lifted it up onto two wheels.
Shit!
An 11-ton, yes. When I said it, it almost flipped me. You poor bitch.
You speak Shivenda, bar.
I spoke a lot
you
of
find religion very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of...
It was on that day that I found Jesus.
Crazy thing I've been thrown around.
He was sitting in the back row.
Yeah, he had to be.
Did any of you watch the Formula One this weekend? I see Nico
Rosberg. I did watch a bit of it.
I didn't watch it, but I hear that it was actually a riveting event. That the last 15 laps were probably the most exciting race in ages.
Really?
Yeah, I watched it until about halfway until I realized that Hamilton was going to win and Rosberg will take second and the championship on points. So I just stopped watching because it is essentially just a giant procession.
A lot of it is, and I mean, it has become that. But I mean, now I'm seeing that they're also talking about going back to the high downforce, high power vehicles of yesteryear. That's also being proposed for 2017 now.
That sounds good.
Is that they're going to go back to now, you know, bigger wings, etc., etc. So each and every year, the format keeps on changing. Right. But I understand why, because of exactly that. We don't watch it
boring.
Because it is this procession.
It's predictable.
From the Schumacher era, it became just this...
The only way guys passed each other was in pit stops, and it just became incredibly boring
to watch. And that's like watching 5-day test cricket, because it's great for those that understand the theory and the strategy behind
the anoraks of the sport.
Exactly. But for the rest of us,
Have they become too gentlemanly with their driving? Like when you overtake, you must get in there, bro.
I think that's why MotoGP is... so amazing.
You know, I was actually
there, bro.
I was just going through my Facebook feed this morning and I saw a small video clip of it's labeled Volvo Polestar.
Yes.
Of a street race of this guy overtaking the lead driver under braking, four wheels locked up, going into a corner and passes the guy on the inside.
What?
It is just, it's something to see. Now that is motor racing.
We'll get you glued until the end of the race.
Exactly. It's like the thing. It was also along the lines of the Australian V8 supercars. That is motor racing.
V8 superstars and the likes. It's considerably better But as a whole, motorsport just sadly just seems to be struggling, battling a little bit in the sense that it's just not getting the media coverage.
Yeah.
I think there's a big shift from traditional media onto online and streaming.
Yes.
And if we're into the drifting and that.
Yeah.
And if we sit there and we want to support one of our local drivers that's either driving in the Drift All Stars or we want to watch Formula Drift or something, it's simple. You crack open the computer and you stream it, mm-hmm. and you stream it live. And it was so great to see that live streaming actually made a nice, proper, hearty debut at the Motorsport Festival that we had not too long ago.
Yes.
We are sat and I watched some of our fellow journalists actually competing in their media
Facebook
challenge.
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live through the live streaming. And I sat there. It didn't cost me anything.
Yeah.
I didn't have to pay a subscription. It cost me my daughter,
yes.
Which for many of us, we're sitting there and we're paying a flat fee the same way that we'd be subscribing anyway, and then all our devices are hooked up to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You know, many of us are running like that now, yeah. Fortunately, because times have changed. Mm. But it was so great to sit there and to choose what I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I set the reminder, okay, the race is starting at 2 o'clock, so I'm going to tune in at 2 o'clock. And I sat there and I watched it, and it had great,
no, I think
fantastic
for,
camera work. There was commentary in the whole toot.
I think that's the way it's going to go, to be honest.
You know what? And I don't feel that it's going to be lost because you can get some fantastic viewership there. When I'm out and about and I'm doing a launch, I go and I do a live Periscope feed from the launch.
Yeah.
So if you go onto the Auto Trader Periscope, you may even find some. I'm not sure if they're still up and available. But during the week, I was at a launch of the new BMW 740e.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. Sure. Yeah. That's so.
A bit of a rush around, in all honesty. A bit of a rush around. So I didn't.
The walk of shame.
Yeah. No.
The walk of shame.
I made my flight by what could only have been no more than 15 seconds.
Were you that oak
what?
When everyone was sitting
oak.
On the plane?
I was that oak.
And you're waiting and you're waiting. And then
and he waltzes
they were
in.
Sitting on the apron. They were sitting on the apron. I had row 28, so I was there right next to the shutter at the back. And I just went waltzing past everybody.
With a big
all the way
went.
To the back of the plane.
What was going through your head then?
I
please don't murder me.
Care.
Yeah, like
at that point I was beyond caring. But let's turn it into motoring show. Let's turn to that BMW 740e.
Yeah.
Let's just touch on that briefly. Of course, marrying the luxury status of BMW's flagship, which is their 7 Series, with the hybrid technology that we've seen in the likes of that fantastic X5 that I was driving a little while ago that I said is probably the perfect SUV for South Africa, and the i8. Now, the i8 was the first one that came out and showed us a sort of dual drive, sort of dual power source sort of layout in BMW in a really effective but sporty way.
Yeah.
So they've used the same theory, but with a little more of what they put into the X5 in terms of taking the motor away from being in the BMW i8. The electric motor sits in the front where the traditional engine would be, and the petrol motor sits at the back where it would be in like a sports car. So it's like mid-engined. But it's also front engine because it's got the two motors.
Yes.
Now, they changed that with the X5 and they left the petrol engine up front and they put the electric motor not in the boot, you know, so like backwards to an i8. Yeah. They actually put the electric motor in the gearbox.
Oh.
Okay, so it keeps things considerably more compact than that, and it helps for space because now you're not building a sports car where people aren't expecting to get space. You're building an SUV. You need space. People are buying an SUV for space. And now the same with the 7 Series. You're needing that sort of space. So by putting the electric motor in the gearbox, it frees up a lot of space. And it combines two of the technologies. A, I don't want to know what that gearbox costs.
Yes.
And B, I really hope it doesn't go wrong.
Yeah, because it's so far.
Yeah. But so the batteries and everything, they've managed to increase the electric range to about 48 kilometers an hour.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence just finding that video to take a look at. But they've married these two beautifully. They've increased the electric range to about 48 kilometers, and they've managed to keep all the tech in that of the 7 Series. It does change a little bit. It doesn't quite have the same sort of dynamic drive that I got from some of the other 7 Series in terms of the 740 and the 730D. Mm. You can feel that extra little bit of weight. And, in terms of the response, you don't quite have that same sort of drive response. It's not quite as polished a package as I would have expected, but very, very good. The only biggest problem that I have with it is I can't understand who the clientele is.
Okay.
I can't see it who it's aimed at unless it is the CEO of Grundfos or something of the sorts that has to now show that he is, you know, environmentally aware and that sort of thing, and he's going to be driving this hybrid one. Yes, if you're doing stop-start traffic, it can be quite fuel efficient. But if you're using it for the normal slog, it's actually going to be no more fuel efficient than one of the diesel models. Really. Yeah. There's not that much of saving in it.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a confused car there. But BMW is starting to gather momentum with this, and soon we're going to be seeing it in a 5 Series, and we're expecting to see it in a 3 Series.
I think that is that the next evolution of
it? I think it is, and I think we're going to see more and more of this coming through. We've got some dual power systems in the likes of the Volvo XC90 as well.
The T8.
I mean, we've got the likes of the Prius, but that's not necessarily your plug-in hybrid. Okay. The Prius runs just, you know, you can't plug in a Prius. Yes. It just runs on petrol.
Yeah.
And that petrol motor charges up the battery. The battery's and the electric motor is just there to supplement it.
Okay.
The proper sort of, you can plug it in and run it as an electric car, or you can run it as a petrol car, or you
can
run it as both.
And can you switch between the two?
Yeah, you can. You can switch between it.
Okay.
Now, you can't really do that to the same effect in the Prius. It does allow you to full EV mode, what they call electric vehicle mode. But, I mean, the experience that we had, that was pretty pointless. So there was no point in running it in full EV mode because you're only going to do like 40 kilometers an hour at part throttle. You know, whereas like in the 740i, in full EV mode, you can do 140 kilometers an hour.
Oh, wow.
Sure, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so you can do full highway speeds on full electricity, and you can do the same in the i8 and the X5.
And does the sound in the car change?
I was getting
there. No, you don't hear anything.
It's that eerie silence where you're expecting to hear a big engine.
Yes.
There's nothing.
Or some rumble or something.
It sounds like a photocopier.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all you hear. It becomes a big golf car. It's very unsettling at first, but you learn to actually appreciate it. And it's something that I think that us old school guys may struggle with. I've already managed to embrace it. I've got no problem. I actually love hybrid vehicles.
Yeah.
I think that I'm fascinated by them in the sense of I want to see how we're getting it right in terms of increasing the range, how flexible they are in terms of the drive and the switch over. How much thinking do I need to do?
Yeah.
Because at the moment, they've got systems that are automated, you know, so if the battery runs down, it's automatically going to kick in the petrol motor.
Yeah.
Or you leave it in auto and it's going to gauge by how much throttle you're putting in, what speed you're doing, you know, what the driving style is, and it's going to try and determine what is best and most efficient for you. But I've found the most efficient to be actually manually telling the car what I want to do.
Okay. Mm.
So I want to drive it in what is save battery or... and that's the problem. They've got, it's the same thing, but they've called it three different names in the three different cars they've produced. It was Sport in the BMW i8. We had Save Battery in the
X5.
In the X5. And then this one was Battery Control in the 7 Series. Essentially, what that is letting the petrol motor run on its own without using the electric motor.
Yeah.
And that charges up the battery.
Okay.
In the 7 Series, it does it quite quickly and a lot quicker than what it was doing in the X5 and in the BMW i8. But Lawrence myself did this test with the i8, and when we drove it in sport mode, and we drove it for a while, and it charged up the battery to, I'd say, about 80% or so.
Sure.
And that gave us about 20 kilometers, 22 kilometers of range on the electric motor. Of course, the i8 is a little older, so it doesn't quite have the same range.
Hold on, Chad.
But then we switched it
80 kilometer of battery gives you 20 k's. No, 80% of battery gives you 20 k's.
Yeah, it's got the i8's got a range of about 32 kilometers.
Keeping in mind
on
that
full
the
electric,
i8 is a sports car.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so that's when you're pushing it a bit.
And it was their first one. And it was their
first
one. The biggest thing for hybrids at the moment is the electric range.
Yes.
You know, it's not fantastic, but it's getting better.
I see.
So from the 32, we're up to 48 now with the 7 Series already. And this is just getting more
better
and more better. And better.
So how would you drive? I mean, what is the ultimate way to drive it in your experience? Because I'm thinking here, stop, start, you engage the
electric.
That's the thing.
What is the way to drive an i8? Oh, bruh. Yeah.
that's what we were doing. You know, we got it charged up to about 80%, and then we switched it over, not to auto, but to full EV.
Okay.
We drove for the next 20 kilometers
for free.
Yeah.
On the power that I just made.
For me.
Yeah.
I wasn't just standing there revving the motor up, not going anywhere, wasting petrol. No, I was still traveling.
Mm.
But then when I switched it over to full electric, I'd actually just made that electricity by driving it in that sport mode.
Sure.
I'd made that electricity for the battery. My next 20 kilometers were free.
Yeah. Sure.
And that, if you can understand how it works in that sense, I even drove the X5 all the way from my house to the office.
For free.
Essentially for free. I charged it up overnight.
So it charged me a little bit there.
But I drove it with the loudest noise that came out of that car was me closing the door.
Yeah.
Sure.
I drove it all the way. It was about, 13 kilometers. Okay, and in Joburg traffic, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But I drove all the way without using a drop of petrol. And then I drove most of the way back home again because I wanted to see. Mm. Can I do the daily commute on one charge? Charge it overnight, work and back, and I'm good.
Sure. Overnight, that was like 6 hours.
Yeah, it's about a six to eight hour charge on it. I think, you know, and that's just with the what they supply you, the charging cable. If you install the wall box, it does that in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there's different charging rates and charging systems.
And
as
I'm
well.
Assuming that there's obviously cost implications because now you're putting two engine or two motors essentially into a vehicle. So that's going to push the sale price of the vehicle up. But I think over time, and if you drive the car properly, you probably recoup that.
To give you an idea, you're talking about a 1.4 million rand car with the 740.
Yeah.
Okay, the 740E, I don't have the exact, you know, I can pull the exact pricing for you quickly, but to give you an idea, there's only about a 30,000 rand swing between the
electric
730D, the diesel one with good, you know, good economy, and the 740E. You know, the 740E is like 30, 32K more expensive. I've got the prices here. So you start at 1.431.
1.431, okay.
And you're sitting at about 1.4 dead for the 730D. Granted, base pricing, you need to spec it on top of that. But that's the BMW 740E iPerformance standard is 1.431. So there's a 30,000 rand difference. But when you're spending 1.4 million rand, what's 30,000?
No,
true. You know, it's such a small percentage of it that it's...
That's the wheel spanner. Almost,
It's the tint. You know, pretty much at that level. So really... Not bad in terms of the cost implications. You are sacrificing a little bit of boot space because of where they're putting the batteries and that sort of stuff. And it was the same in the X5. But how many of us use the full 515 liters of a boot
space?
You know, very seldom.
My wife does.
Well, yes, this we know.
Prams,
and she went shopping on Black Friday.
I hate that Black Friday business.
I think it's a lot of nonsense.
I hate... No, I heard. I don't know.
We are not America. Yeah, I saw all the pictures and the videos of all the malls and the way people just went completely...
Yeah.
No, man, let me tell
you. Cro-Magnon.
My non-reading brothers and sisters...
You said it.
Went, yeah, and they went and bought on credit, on the Black Friday. And apparently it dates back to slavery, where slaves were being sold off. The ones that couldn't be bought would be given on discount. There's even like a funny... But it's an... It's a,
I saw
it's
the
a
meme. Did you see? I saw the cartoon.
So I was like, I don't know how true this is, Mare. I mean, they're just smart. They wanted to buy a lot just before Christmas. Anyway, yeah. So,
well, many people use it. I mean, the US has been doing it for ages. And yes, it's massively reduced discounts at stock and that.
Up to 70% off on stuff.
And it's basically cost plus... Or cost price. Cost plus five or cost... At cost price, or sometimes even below cost, if it is stock that they're struggling to move, and it just makes it a great opportunity for them to purchase for, you know, Christmas time and gifts and that sort of thing.
It just tells you how much you get schneid, bro. I mean, if this thing costs 4 grand and on Black Friday costs 2 grand,
you're getting schneid for two grand.
You've been schneid all along.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but it's this whole capitalist sort of approach to things. So it's very, very tricky, but it's an American tradition to sit there and to basically injure each other, park outside of a Checkers
people
so that you can get toilet paper.
Each other.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't want toilet paper for Christmas.
No,
but listen, back to cars. Were car dealerships observing the Black Friday?
Yes.
Really?
Couple of the ones out Boxburg side of the world, the guys had black balloons and the Black Friday stickers on the windscreen.
Did they slash their prices as well?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
the one secondhand dealership on the corner was offering 15,000 rand trade assist. You buy a car, and we'll give you 15,000.
We'll hike up your trade in by 15.
Yeah.
Well, it's a 15,000 rand discount, no matter which way you look at it.
Either way.
Oh, cash back. Oh, trade assist. It's just.
But this is on a secondhand car. Not a new car.
Not you. Yeah.
And the new car, I know the guys are, some of them are throwing 30,000, 20,000.
Wow.
You know, you buy a car, we give you 30,000 rand off. Mm.
That's because they were charging you 60 grand extra anyway.
And that is, this now goes back to what you were just saying about us being schneid on stuff. And we know the auto industry, thank you guys.
Well, listen,
the cars are too
expensive. But we love our cars anyway. So, Chad, quickly back to the i8.
Yeah.
With the sound and all, you said you're starting to appreciate the silence of it. Are you saying that maybe we are too used to noise pollution that we've started to appreciate it as beautiful sound?
Absolutely. It's very tricky. And I mean, in the reviews that I've done on electric and hybrids, I always come away with the same sort of conclusion, is that let's embrace this because it's good.
The future.
It is the future. You know, embrace it. Don't sit there and dig your heels in. And it's going to be.
And it's for
really,
a good cause.
It is a good cause. You know, I want to leave something here for the kids.
Yeah,
true. You know, and to sit there and wreck it is irresponsible of us. Granted, me as one person, I can't do it alone. But if we all collectively start adopting a similar mindset, then hopefully, you know, things can improve.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try and sound like a Greenpeace hippie here, but in terms of motoring, what I'm involved with, hey, let's support electric cars and that type of thing. The improvements are being made, and I appreciate it. And I like to believe that it's going to make petrol special again.
Yeah. The sound of a V8.
The sound of a V8 is going to be something that's only going to be reserved to racetracks and weekends.
Sunday
drives.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When, the car wash. When a guy comes past,
people will stop.
In an E36 that's got a six-cylinder motor, whether it's a 325 or an M3, you're going to, listen. It's a six-cylinder.
Yeah, Mario, you're killing the township sport with a 325 and the sounds keeps clogging. But the ultimate goal is quite good.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. I mean, this is long term. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to see this sort of vibe in my lifetime. I may not. True. But it's going to make petrol special again. And it's going to make it a special occasion. And where we just take it for granted, there's going to be that moment of, wow, take a look at what the car did for the horse. All of a sudden, all the horses were spared. They were no longer treated as poorly. And now they were used for recreation. But they were so looked after.
Mm.
They're properly stable. They're not being left tied to a tree at night. You know, they're stable. They're looked after. They're being bred properly. And the same can happen for the petrol motor.
Well, the environment benefits in the process.
Exactly. So I'm all for it. And I think it's fun. It's interesting. It's a very interesting time that we're living in. And that just fascinates me.
Electric self-driving cars.
Like the space age.
All the vrpas are soon going to be extinct.
Yeah, no, listen.
That is the most beautiful sound ever, my man.
Think of it this way. Your daughter may be safe.
Sure.
Yeah, you didn't think of that one, did you? Hey.
Okay, Chad.
If a vrpa pitches up at your house, a GTI boy.
It'll be my vrpa.
Of course, I'm referring to the sound of your typical DSG gearboxes on your VW products.
Yeah.
So, chaps, listen, just quickly. So, we're going to go to break just now. But, Lawrence, we were just chatting outside. It sounds like you've had fun the last couple of days. You've been driving the
Suzuki Grand Vitara.
Yeah.
And I would like to start off by just saying this. There is a difference between reviewing a car and testing a car.
Okay.
Reviewing a car, you take it for a drive, you tell people, I like this, I like this.
Yes.
Testing a car, that is where we go to a racetrack and we hammer the hell out of it.
And
or,
you experience the car.
Yeah.
You put it through its paces.
Or, like what I did on Thursday, Friday, is to take the car 4x4ing. And I mean, really 4x4ing. You put it through mud, sand.
Thanks for the invite, bro. Like, I really love you. I had a good time.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was so wonderful.
And I'll tell
so
you what,
dirty.
The Grand Vitara really surprised the hell out of me.
Really?
You know, it's a Suzuki product. Now, we know how good the Jimny is.
Yeah.
And this is the Jimny's big brother.
Yeah.
And this thing just ate up everything I could throw at it.
I
went in the dunes, in the sand, in the mud.
Tell me you've got a video for that.
Well, listen,
I have got lots of
We're going to unpack that all now. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. So let's just go to a quick break. And when we come back, Lawrence will tell us about his Grand Vitara Suzuki. Yeah, exactly, in the mine dumps.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize ride,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beta, benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crotch rocket, denka, ghetto cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, puddle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
And news and reviews on Auto Central.
There we go. Now we're back. And yes, let's talk Suzuki Grand Vitara. So Lawrence, tell us, what dump?
We had a great time with Lawrence.
Basically,
My
area of choice to go and test the Vitara is a place that myself and Chad used to go ride dirt bikes at called Chimes out in the East Rand.
Okay. What's it called? Chimes.
Yeah.
Chimes.
And basically, we've had a bit of a... the place has gone quiet. The guys don't go ride bikes there anymore. So, they started some construction work and then it stopped. So
what stopped the construction work? The tender went wrong.
No. I think they started grading roads and whatnot, and sort of wrecked all the trails that the guys were using, and then it just nothing else has happened. So with the rain and everything that we had over the last few days, it made the drive very entertaining because an area that used to be quite open for a great big open area full of sand is now a lake.
Sure. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So anyway, yeah, I went there and testing the vehicle. I wasn't reviewing it. I was testing it. I was putting it through its paces. And Chad can attest to the dune climbs that are there. Mm. He can attest to the rock quarry that I drove through. And, of course, all the mud and water and rivers.
When he told me that he went into the quarry, I was like, what? You took this where? I mean, that was one of those.
And you came out?
That was one of those rides where you ride 2-3 meters and then just fall over sideways because sure. You just can't no longer keep balance. And 2-3 meters, hobble, fall over. You know, it's one of those. You like, you can't even push your bike over this stuff. You have to just, very roof of Africa in that approach. And when he said that he took it there, I was like, really? This?
And that was the thing. You know, we all know that the Jimny is really good. And this is, like I said, is the Jimny's big brother. And what really surprised me was the full-on capability of Suzuki's flagship vehicle. It's luxurious inside. You have these velour cloth seats. The thing has got more than enough torque to get you out of just about anywhere. And one of the things that I was really, really happy about was the switch on the dash. You can go from four high lock into four-wheel low range.
Just at a flick of a button.
Flick of a switch.
Sure.
There's no clunking. There's no having to put it into neutral and put the clutch in, hold the brake. You know, none of that. You just turn the switch and off this thing goes. And just the capability, it just blew me away.
So this vehicle has got similar capabilities or, you know, capabilities that match the likes of what? Your Land Rovers?
Now, it's funny you should say that because I think the designers at Suzuki maybe cribbed a little bit because there are so many design characteristics on the Gran Vitara that you can see were just pulled from the pages of Land Rover. From the wheels to the clamshell bonnet to the spare wheel cover to the back door.
But listen, there's one thing copying. Yeah, there's another thing, you know, copying and making it work.
Replicating.
Yes.
You know, and that's why I said cribbing. They didn't copy, they cribbed.
Yeah.
But just
it's not like a Land Rover in Matric. Yeah.
How did I know something like that?
It's not a Land Rover X5 that is a blatant copy of like an Evoque. Okay. Yeah. It's just, you can see the styling cues were pulled from what was popular at the time, you know, or is popular at the time. So, yeah, very similar design cues.
And, you know, the thing that I did not know what the vehicle cost. And Chad will tell you as well, when we first picked the vehicle up, I was like, this thing's what, 285,000 Rand? And he was like, no, my friend. That little button on the dash that makes it low range, that's going to push the price up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then we did a little bit of a check this morning, and this vehicle is coming in at just shy of 450,000 Rand.
Okay.
But and it is worth
it. I was about to say,
exactly. It's, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I saw it outside now. It's obviously got enough space for average family of four people.
I've had it for a week, and like I said, the kids are in and out the back, school bags. The boot is massive.
Hmm.
And if the only thing I can really complain about is the rattle. There is a rattle coming from the back of the car somewhere, and I'm not really sure if it is a panel or if it's a seatbelt.
What a chair said was the wheel spanner. Or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that could be. You know, you've taken a wheel spanner out or the jack out or something, and you haven't put it back properly, and sometimes it does rattle in there.
Yeah.
And I want to say that I think this is limited probably to this model. I don't think this is a generic Gran Vitara problem. Exactly.
No, and I think it is basic. Just look, there is something loose in the back of the car, and I can't find it. So
it's a paniki van a beer wat jy het drink it. You flip it daar achter. And it's rattling. Is it like a heavy rattle or just a little bit irritating?
It sounds like plastic on plastic.
Oh, I see.
And so it could just be a loose panel or something.
Yeah, it was there before I went off-roading, and it was there after I was finished. So it's not something that rattled loose while I was out testing the vehicle.
But so all in all, a very, very nice car to drive.
This being, like I said, we've tested just about everything in Suzuki's range this year.
Yeah.
And as far as the Jimny was the top of my list. This one has just booted the Jimny off
to second place.
Yeah.
Very, very. I mean, it is their flagship. It is their top of the range. And it's probably one of the longest standing Suzuki models, you know, Gran Vitara. And it's always been that sort of, in the name, grand.
Yeah. It is exactly
something that.
Yeah.
And it is a car that has to be taken seriously. Now, while, I mean, far off the mark, what sort of competition do you see for this? I mean, Pajero short wheelbase. I mean, this is a little more practical with its four doors.
When you, now, it's funny that you should mention that, because there is also a little bit of cribbage going on there. Mm. The back door of the Gran Vitara,
yes,
it's almost identical to the Pajero's.
Really?
That swing out with with the piston.
Because, I mean, we were very impressed with that Pajero short wheelbase and the long wheelbase. You know, both of them. We were impressed with those offerings as much as they
where
are
the, where the Pajero felt a little bit more agricultural,
mm-hmm.
the Gran Vitara feels more
refined.
Yes.
And I mean, you're saving 100,000
pretty much.
Almost
434,000 rand. That's the price that we got here.
Yeah. Cheapers. So, I mean, that's, yeah, no, that's quite a bit. I'm just trying to think what else would be in that market. I mean, if you, with that same sort of spec level, you're going Duster, but Duster's considerably cheaper, but also definitely not giving you that sort
that
of
level of
that level of refinement either.
You know, Evoque. Evoque.
No, I know,
but that's way
a lot of money, lot pricier.
And for what? You can't do the things in the Vitara that you can do in the Evoque, correct?
How do you mean?
No, the other way around.
Yeah,
you won't be able to do in the Evoque what you can do in the Vitara.
That's what I wanted to say.
You wouldn't take an Evoque where I was playing around over the weekend.
Yeah. That, no, you'd just feel bad about it.
Yeah,
and look foolish probably.
Yeah.
So I mean, but Suzuki. I mean, that's now twice in this month that we've been really impressed with the Suzuki. First the Baleno, and
now the Gran Vitara is not a new car.
No.
We just managed to get our hands on one before they defleeted it, and that's why I said I wasn't going to review it. Because people know it's a good car. I wanted to test it. I wanted to see just how far you can push this thing before it gets stuck, and it didn't.
Still not stuck.
No. Well, it's a good thing, because I think you went out there pretty much alone, hey?
Yes, I was alone. Which is a
no recovery vehicle.
Very bad idea when you are 4x4ing. Always go out as
with somebody else.
With somebody else or another vehicle that can help each other get out.
Now, if you got stuck, which vehicle would you prefer to tow you out?
The official recovery vehicle, because this is a roundabout. You know, the guys always have those stickers on the back of the car. This is the official recovery vehicle. You know what? I would actually have to say it would be the Pajero long wheelbase.
Okay.
What?
No, just
and the Land Cruiser. No.
No. No. As a recovery vehicle,
The
Pajero is always going to win.
Fantastic.
The other vehicles will get stuck. The Pajero is the one that's going to pull them out.
Nice. And obviously, you know, we're heading into December now. What have you guys got coming up? Are there anything exciting happening now? Or the manufacturers kind of slowing down and holding back for 2017?
We are going to try and squeeze in one more hashtag scenic route before the end of the year.
Okay.
We're going to try for it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And which is one of our epic road trips with a vehicle of choice. And we go and explore a bit of the countryside.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Because you're heading off down, you off to Cape Town.
Yeah, I'm going to Cape Town. I don't know where you're going. Where are you off to?
Who?
You. Are you going to Romania?
But you guys don't get it. For the longest time, when you guys go on holiday, when I say you guys, I'm talking about you white boys.
Yeah.
When you go on holiday, we go to grandmother's house.
Uh-huh.
but I'll be working. I'll be shooting till about the 22nd of December, so I'll probably do a holiday in first week of Jan.
First week of Jan.
Yeah.
Cool. Jed, are you driving anything special at the moment?
No, not at all. I am going to be spending a day a little later on this week. I'm actually quite looking forward to it. I was never a
big
BMW fan.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a chance to get behind the wheel of an immaculately restored E30 333.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Jealous.
Yeah, the trip. And then the BMW M1, the 1978 BMW supercar.
Looked like a Ferrari.
Yeah, it was...
Jello.
Yeah, so I'm getting a bit of an experience there. I'm going to try and give you guys a little bit of live video on that as well. I was talking about Periscope a little while ago. We do that. You follow the Auto Trader Twitter timeline.
Yeah.
And you can check there when we're going live on Periscope, and you can watch some live video as it's happening of me driving some of the vehicles. We often do this on our launches. And I'm hoping to piece together a little bit of a video, just a bit of an experience, and just talk you through what makes these cars so special and what they're like to drive 30 years after the fact.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe those
cars are 30 years old.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are older. I mean, that M1's almost 40 years old.
Sure.
That Trip 3 is, I mean, that's a 30-year-old car.
It's funny how some vehicles actually sustain or maintain their beauty. I mean, with technology and evolution and all this, you know, the way things are designed nowadays.
You're talking about things like the Lotus Esprit. Yes. The James Bond Lotus. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's just timeless. Some cars that don't lose their appeal, you know? Silence?
No, I'm just trying to think of other vehicles that have timeless design. There was the Lotus Esprit. There's the Ferrari 430. The Magnum PI one.
Like 328.
Yeah, the 328, sorry.
Yeah.
Then there's the...
What about the Nissan, a KPG C10?
Yes, come on, your Hakusuka, yeah. That's a legendary. I mean, in terms of the skyline, even if you take a look at some of your Datsun Z cars,
yes,
I mean at the time, but I mean you're talking classics here as well. The cars that are now being regarded as classics,
yeah, they're 30 years old.
A 240Z, I mean, is a beautiful car. You try and find a 240Z for sale now, and you're going to pay over 100,000 rand.
Yeah,
you see. I don't care who you are. Greater, later incarnations just started looking rough. Your 260s and 280Zs, 300ZX,
so pretty.
No, not really timeless in that sense. But a lot of that Datsun Z car, the original 240, was down to the E-Type, and now there's another one.
Well, I mean, the
E-Type is just such a beautiful car. And you take a look at a lot of the British cars, and they are timeless. You take a look at an Austin Healey 3000, and it's still this beautiful shape that you sit there and you say, wait, Chris Bangle designed the Z4 after this Austin Healey, because the things look almost identical.
Yeah.
But 50 years after the fact.
Yeah, I suppose the technology in the vehicle changes. And, you know, are a thing of beauty when you look at vehicles.
I'm waiting for the day that the technology that we're now seeing emerging in vehicles like the 740iE, the i8, and things like the Tesla are going to make their way into smaller passenger vehicles, the everyday stuff that we drive.
That actually look good. Because I'm sorry, the i3 does not look good.
No.
That thing is hideous. That looks like...
It looks
anybody
like
that's got a toddler that has started drawing cars...
That's what they look like.
That, sadly.
That they draw i3s. Tiny little wheels at the bottom.
Yeah.
And this big bulbous thing there with the proportions that are totally squiff.
You know what, the i3, I think what really put me off about that is the interior. It's all very fancy,
come on.
But the interior just killed it.
Whoever designed that was drunk when they pinned it.
Sorry, BMW.
I'm looking at it now, and it looks what? Nice. So I don't know.
You're dead to me, Tom.
Look at how they look at you and say it looks nice.
No, that's why I sit on the other side of the desk.
Now, listen, the i3 is a cracking car. It's really not
in terms
bad.
Of the technology,
in terms of the tech and what it means and that type of thing. The package. It isn't bad. It could be better, but good grief. No, really, what were you guys smoking when you came up with that? You know, there's something to be said about pushing a technology.
Yes.
And then there's pushing it too far. And when you've got things like eucalyptus wood dash inserts, because the eucalyptus tree grows faster and it's sustainable.
Environmentally sourced leather. And
yes, and it's naturally tanned leather, you know, so this is all responsibly. Tea leaf staining on the leather and the woods, and it's got a compressed fiber, plant fiber called Kenneth.
I don't know why, but the word hippie has just jumped into
very
my head.
Thank you. Mm. It's exactly that. That's what the interior is. So it's what they call responsibly sourced wool and responsibly dyed and sourced leather from animals that died of their own accord. We're not slaughtered. They died of their own accord.
It's an SPCA. Boredom. The guy's an SPCA.
So, the cow died of boredom and they went and took his skin.
Hey, that's a vegan's car, okay?
Thank you. It's the vegan, latte automotive. Drinking, MacBook using Instagram filter of cars.
There we go. Just like that.
Guys, a friend of mine pulled up on Wednesday in a C63 Sport.
Yes.
Right?
Mm.
Now.
Oh, in the coupe.
Yeah.
Be still my beating
but
heart.
Hold on.
That's a beautiful
car. Oh, hey.
No matter, this is what he said. I said to him, listen, but no biggie, KAK. Yeah. He says, when you're fatigued or when you're drunk, you can, I don't know, like, program it to the car in front of you?
You can.
Oh, so it will keep a following distance.
It's not for when you're fatigued or drunk. Yeah.
What is it for?
It's just for when you're driving. It basically
when you're driving.
It's
an adaptive cruise, adaptive radar guided cruise control. 7 Series had it, and there's a number of Mercs that have got it.
Yeah.
Many cars. In fact, your Ford Fusion that was coming in at 400,000 rand in the beginning of last year. Yeah. Has got that technology in it.
It's in the Volvos. It's in Jeeps.
What is it called?
It's basically a radar guided. That each manufacturer will have a slightly different name.
It's adaptive cruise control. Essentially.
Active adaptive.
And it helps you maintain a safe following distance.
Without driving. So you just chill in the driver's seat. Is that pretty much.
Can drive from Boksburg to Randburg without touching the brake or the accelerator. The car does all the thinking for you.
I want to call my friend and apologize.
The car's doing the thinking for you, but that's obviously governed by the person
in front
driving
of
in front
so
of
if,
you.
When they turn, so it follows the driver, whoever.
No, it doesn't follow them.
Yes, like I knew I was right somewhere. Yes.
It maintains the same following distance.
So when he turns, you're screwed?
Pretty much.
Yeah, man, I told
you. No, now this is combined with, and like in the 7 Series and some of the bigger, the S-Class Mercs and the likes, there's a lane keep assist, which also helps. So it'll help keep you between the white lines by helping
where
you
are
steer.
Where there are white lines,
because of course this is Joburg and the ANC still runs this place.
Yes, Chance.
You can go down to the Western Cape where the DA runs it, and there's not a single road there without a line on it. I'm just saying, you know?
Listen, we can also compare. In Japan, they fix massive sinkholes in two days.
7 days. Yeah. 7 days, hey, that they got that one back up and running.
Jeez, like,
it was amazing. And it was massive.
It was huge.
It was down to like subway level.
Yeah.
But the cruise control, basically, you can set the cruise control at, let's say, 120 kilometers an hour for the national speed limit. No, on the highway.
Yeah.
And then you set the distance that you wanted to maintain from whatever car is in front of you. And it gives you like four different settings. So one's a bit closer. Usually two is a nice good distance that nobody's just going to hop in front of you. And it's about 2 seconds. Basically, yeah, second gaps. Yeah, 1 second, 2 second, 3 seconds. It gives you seconds. And so you set it at 2 seconds and it's going to maintain that. So if the car in front of you slows down, it'll apply the brakes for you.
So you can sleep.
No, you can't sleep.
Yeah, I see.
You can't be drunk. You can't sleep.
You still have to drive.
But that was the whole argument. He says to me, listen, this machine, I'm like, this is a beautiful machine. Said, do you know what else you can do? You know, you can drive me home while you're in your car. And I'm like,
I think he's a few decades ahead of himself.
Yeah, he is.
Self-driving cars, 2025, 2030.
But let me tell you what I really liked about that car. He was parked at Kemper Square, Melville. Now, there's these other vehicles around him. When he starts that thing, all the alarms go off. See, I'm like, which tender have you? And if you change your name to
Or
something.
Really?
Like, but I knew he was talking crap when he says, this thing can fully.
No, listen, it's
turning, I'm like, aye, baba.
It's very good, yes. No, the lane keep assist is going to, and the steering assist is going to help keep him in the lane. You know, so if he starts veering off into another lane, it's going to start pulling the car back into the lane, provided, like we say, there are lines. And it's going to prevent him from having an accident with the car in front of him, because
if the car comes down to a stop,
it's going to stop the car for him. But if that car starts moving again, it's not going to move until he gives it some sort of input. So if he's fallen asleep, this is a very real concern, though. You talk like this, and this is a very real concern, and something that I've been waxing about for a little while. I know we're running a little thin on time here, but this sort of technology is making people complacent.
Yeah.
Even if you're not irresponsible in that sense of driving drunk or driving fatigued, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I know I don't really have to concentrate on what's happening around me, because the vehicle's controlling, you know, a slight change in the lane or the traffic in front of me or whatever. It's going to warn me if there's something approaching rapidly from behind. So I don't really need to concentrate, so I can actually check my phone.
But that's not on.
Who buys a C63 Sport Coupe and puts on that whatever adaptive mode? Like, why would you want to
do that? You do it because you get tired of... With the fuel build, you get tired of driving it hard all the time.
What? I would never get tired. Can Mercedes-Benz just give me that car? I'll get tired. The tire will get tired. I will never get tired of driving that car. Did you hear the sound of the dude?
No, it's a beautiful car. It's fantastic. And it's actually a mad improvement over the sedan, hey? They reworked the front suspension.
You were telling us during the break, somebody else got one as well. C63 Mercedes-Benz that they're probably not going to be able to drive for a little while.
This is
No. An award recipient this weekend.
Oh, wait, Van Niekerk.
Yeah,
is it a 63? I think it looked like it, but it's a bit longer though, that one. But they couldn't even mention. But I mean, he won Sportsman of the Year.
Yes.
And congratulations, by the way.
So now he's sitting on, I think, on like four vehicles. But then I know Audi has given him that beautiful R8.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? What contractually, he can't drive anything.
Well, is there a contract in place for that one? You know, has he signed with Audi as an full-blown endorsement?
I think he has.
And I think he has.
Yeah, I think he has. Because they've been sponsoring before he won.
Exactly, yeah. So...
I mean, I could see the way they were not even mentioning the brand of the car. They were just saying you want a luxury car. I'm like,
Yeah, there we go.
Someone's going to have to take it home to his garage and leave it
there. Well, listen, Mercedes-Benz ain't going to be impressed because they put the car up as a prize because they're wanting the marketing behind it.
Oh, but trust me, we're talking about it now, right?
No, we are talking about it now. And I suppose many people will be, but the sort of initial exposure that they were banking on just isn't there. You know, coming from the marketing side of
it. Wade is the wonder boy at the moment, you know, and he's very bankable in marketing terms.
Well, listen, I think he deserves everything he's got.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know the years and the hours that man has put on the track.
No, he's training.
Have you seen his ears, though? His ears are aerodynamic.
Really?
I promise you. Remember Mr. Spock?
Yeah. Yes.
Is it Star Trek or something? He's got ears like Mr. Spock. I'm like, God knew this man was meant for speed. Like, I'm going to make his design his ears.
Hyperspeed, Mr. Sulu.
No, that guy was made to run. Like, no. And then he got like 700, a lot of money. And that beautiful long car, which he's not going to be able to drive, Shem Zaski's.
Hey,
he'll drive it. Believe me, I think he's a car guy.
He'll find a way.
He'll definitely.
Yeah, they'll have to relook into the contract.
Yeah,
he's got nice life problems. Hey,
first world.
Whoever knew that 2016 some colored boy would be wondering which car should I
drive?
You know
what? You talk about 2016, man. I am so over 2016.
I'm happy to see the back end of this year.
2016 has taken so many people this year.
Ish.
And you know what? Old Fidel, he bid it on Friday.
Yeah.
The man up against the biggest capitalist movement in the world dies on Black Friday. The irony. Sucks to be here, mate.
Anyway, chaps, anything big happening 2017? Is there anything that has really got you guys excited?
We are going to be driving cars for this show every month.
Yes. We are.
Yeah.
I know. That's about it. No, and have you anything,
nothing? No word of anything just yet. I mean, I think we're going into 2017 very much the way that we went into 2016, which was just not too sure of where it's going to lead us because of the economy and all that. So we're hoping to see. I think we're hoping for things, and we're hoping to see a nice big turnaround in the motor industry and the economy, having found its feet and taken as much of a knock as it pretty much can. We're hoping that it can't get any worse than it is.
Exactly, and. Yeah, Tepo, anything from you?
I'm trying to look. I have so much faith in this country. I know whatever happens is going to turn out for the better ultimately. You know?
Yeah.
This is one of the best countries in the world. I mean, look at me sitting next to you.
I know. You're very blessed.
Never in a million years did you ever think that you'll be sitting next to me.
No, I didn't. Yeah. Just remember who phoned you. Okay.
Who found you? Not phoned.
Going into the beginning of 2017, I am looking forward to the Roof of Africa.
Fantastic. Yes, that's right.
The 30th to the 3rd of December. That is going to be, the way I want to spend my years.
Yeah, and I know we're covering that quite extensively from a trader point of view.
Poor old
Anna is going down, isn't she?
No,
she's not. That's
the Dakar. My bad.
So, no, we're hoping for good things for Toyota Gazoo at the Dakar.
Yeah.
But we've got the, the Roof of Africa in terms of bikes and off-road and that.
Yep.
Hard Enduro Series. That's happening now, end of the month. And that's just sort of carrying us over from that Hard Enduro. It goes on to the other Hard Enduro and four wheels.
Let's hope 2017 starts better than 2016.
Yeah. But, wishing Janelle and them all the best.
We're talking like it's the 31st of December here. We still have a full month.
Well, we're just, just having
school closes in 4 days.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not school, bro.
For some.
And then
we'll be bringing our kids to the studio. So
and then everybody's on leave. Pretty much all the fleets are closed. Manufacturers are closed.
Yeah.
The year's over.
It's done and dusted.
Guys, thank you very much. Been a great show again. And don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter at AutoTraderSA. And remember to use the hashtag AutoCentral. Remember, don't touch your cell phone in the car, as Chad always says.
It can wait.
Don't drink and drive.
Be patient.
Be vigilant on the roads. And until next time, have a great day.
And Kevin, that car is not for drinking or for fatigue. It's not going to drive itself. You must just... I'm coming for you, bro. Now.
Fantastic. Cheers.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize rod,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, Benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crotch rocket, genka, ghetto cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, puddle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
Cliffcentral.com.